You're listening to Sunday Worship at Weddington Methodist Church. Find more ways to worship, fellowship, serve, study, and be supported at weddingtonchurch.org.
I invite you to take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to Psalm 103, the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 103. It's a Psalm of David, Psalm 103, where David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good as long as you live, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works vindication and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He removes His transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear Him. For He knows how we are made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments. The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, obedient to His spoken word. Bless the Lord, all His hosts, His ministers that do His will. Bless the Lord, all His works, and all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Will you pray with me? God, we are so grateful for Your love and grace, and we are grateful now for the privilege of studying together Your holy word. And God, as I stand before these Your people, I pray that this will be Your message and not my own, through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Father's Day, as we mentioned, a time for us to honor our fathers, to celebrate our fathers, to celebrate those who are like father figures in our lives. Where I grew up out in the country, there were so many people who helped to mold and to shape us. I was blessed with an amazing dad. And we were also blessed to have so many father figures in our lives who made impacts on us. This is a time to pause. It's a time to honor and to celebrate. It's a time to remember and give thanks to God for those special people that have been in our lives. Now, worship is also a time for us to pause and to honor and celebrate our God. God the Father Almighty, as we shared in the Apostles' Creed, it's a God who calls us His children. In other words, we join together today to worship a God who is not some distant God, a God who doesn't care, a God who doesn't feel, a God who doesn't want to be involved in our lives. we join together to worship and to celebrate that the God who created this world is also a God who desires to be in such an intimate relationship with you and with me that he says, you can call me Father. Actually, throughout the scriptures, we have the invitation to call him Abba Father, which means Daddy, Papa. In other words, God is seeking an intimate relationship with all of us, and today we celebrate this impact that God has made on our lives, how God has molded us, shaped us, how God has saved us from our sin and our brokenness, saved us from death, and offered us everlasting life. It's called worship. Worship is a vital part of our lives as Christians, as disciples. Psalm 103 is a beautiful passage of Scripture. It's been a favorite by Christians and leaders of the church throughout the years, used in a variety of different settings and times, from celebrations to graveside services. Arthur Wiesner, who is a German Old Testament scholar, said that this psalm, is one of the finest blossoms on the tree of biblical faith. This psalm is one of the finest blossoms on the tree of biblical faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Well, David is reminding himself here to worship. David has been through so much in his life, and God has never abandoned him. God has never let David down. And David is reminding himself here, and now in the writing of the psalm is reminding all of us, I need to stop. I need to pause. I need to take time to worship my heavenly Father. David is saying to himself, and thus he's saying to us as well, I can never allow myself to take for granted who God is. I can never allow myself to take for granted all that God has done for me. Now, David, as you may remember when you read the Old Testament, was a shepherd boy, and what an interesting life he had led. He was the youngest, and when God was calling the king of Israel, nobody was looking toward David. But David was the one that God had laid his hands upon. What an interesting life, though. He goes from shepherd boy to king, but all in between, there were times he was fleeing from his life, from Saul. I mean, when you read the story of David, it is amazing what all had happened in his life and how many times God had intervened in his life. He had a life that involved sin, grief, and pain. Just because he was a man after God's own heart, known as the greatest king in all of Israel, did not mean that he had lived a wonderful, cushy life with no pain, suffering, problems whatsoever. No, he had experienced it all, and yet God had never left his side. And David is realizing, I can never allow myself to take for granted who God is. That is an amazing lesson for all of us as we join together to worship. Why are we here? Why are we doing this? Why are we celebrating our God today? Because you and I can never take for granted who God is and what God has done for us. David then says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Now, one of the things that I want you to notice in your Bibles is that word Lord, it's in all caps where it says, bless the Lord, bless His holy name. Actually, the reason Lord is in all caps is because actually in the Hebrew, it's the name of God. It's where the name Yahweh, the name of God that we learn in Exodus 3, it's where God's name is. The text actually says, bless God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Israel. Bless this God. This is not just some miscellaneous, there's a Lord out there, there's a God out there. This is a very specific God. Bless the God. Bless Yahweh. Bless His holy name. And David goes on to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all His benefits. And he just starts going through a litany of things as he praises God. And one of the things I encourage you to do on Father's Day, we try to remember all the attributes of our fathers and those who help shape us. David is pausing, going through the attributes of God here. As he's worshiping God's holy name, he's sharing, this is a God who forgives. God, David here is not trying to convince himself that he has nothing to be forgiven for. David knows who he is. David knows what has been in his heart. David knows what he has done. David knows how he had sinned against God. David knew his story. Just like all of us, we know our own stories. We know ourselves. We know where we are in relation to God. We know where we've messed up. We know where we've sinned. And David goes, but this is a God who forgives. Who forgives. And the Hebrew word here for forgives, as some translations say, others will use the word pardon, because the Hebrew here has that nuance of forgiveness and pardon, and those are kind of distinct. For example, when someone is pardoned for a crime, it can be used in a legal concept, they're still guilty, but the pardon means the consequences have been set aside. It's not that they're proclaimed innocent, but the consequences have been set aside. And in forgiveness, forgiveness means that the emotions, that what has happened no longer interferes in the relationship. That consequence of interference of the relationship has now been removed. And God is able to forgive us and to forget. Jeremiah teaches us that, and David is just absolutely amazed by this, that God knows him so well inside and out, and yet God still forgives. If you ever wondered, am I within the reach of God's forgiveness? Hear the good news. David lets us see here, there is nothing that you can do to ever put you beyond the reach of God's forgiving love. Talks about how God heals us from our disease and our brokenness. He mentions that God redeems us from the pit. And when you hear the pit here in the psalm, that refers to death. It refers to the underworld, our burial, our lostness. But God redeems us from that. And He delivers us from it. Now that word redemption, again, carries a very powerful concept to it, because in biblical times, people could be indebted to someone or for some reason they're not able to satisfy something they owe to someone, and they can be imprisoned for it, and they can then become a slave to the person that they owe. But sometimes a family member, someone who loves that person dearly, could come up and pay the debt on behalf of their relative, on behalf of their loved one, and that was called redemption. I have redeemed this person from the debt that they owed and from being taken into slavery. I've now redeemed them back into their regular stature of who they were called and meant to be. David's going, God Himself, God our Father, redeems us from the pit and this brokenness. And what I love about this is long before the birth of Jesus and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus, David still knew who this God was from deep within. He said He crowns us in verse 4 with steadfast love and mercy. It's throughout the psalm, steadfast love and mercy. One of the things that often bothers me, and I share this when I teach Bible studies as well, that so many people misread the Old Testament, and you'll hear people say things like, I don't really like the God of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament seemed to be so angry. The God of the Old Testament seemed to be so violent. The God of the Old Testament, and it's like almost that people teach that God had some kind of conversion experience with the New Testament and when Jesus came. That's not the way the characters in the Bible saw it. It's not the way the people of God saw it. We looked at that last week, for example, when I mentioned Jonah to you. Remember the story of Jonah and how Jonah had tried to flee from God? He didn't want to go to Nineveh. And the reason he didn't want to go to Nineveh and to flee from God was he did not want the people of Nineveh to be forgiven. But did you catch what happened when the people of Nineveh actually repent and God forgives them and decides not to destroy them as he had planned to do? Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, said, "For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love." Did you catch that? Abounding in steadfast love. We see that phrase throughout the Bible, abounding. Not with just a little, abounding in steadfast love. I knew that's who you were, that you were ready to relent from punishing. David looks at our God and he says, he's so full of mercy and steadfast love. He said he provides for us. He satisfies us with good all of our lives. In verse 5, it reminds us, remember it was David who also wrote the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. I shall not want because God has provided for me." And then at the end, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." It's the same David who's writing and sharing with us here, this God satisfies our needs with good all of our lives. He delivers us and vindicates us. That's a reference back to Moses. He says, just look at Moses. Just look at what God did with the children of Israel. This is our people. This is our story. This is our faith. Look how God has been faithful in the past. God is faithful now. God will be tomorrow. Remember how our people were enslaved in Egypt, but God, with miracle after miracle, delivered and brought them to the promised land. We have a God who will never abandon us, never forget us, never leave us trapped aside. God is merciful, gracious, slow to anger. You see it again in verse 8, forgiving in 9 and 10. His steadfast love is infinite in verses 11 and 12. You can't escape it. There is nowhere you can go again that is out of the reach of the amazing love and grace of God. David said, "It's as high as the heavens. God has set his throne in the heaven. His love is as high as the heaven and is as far as the east is from the west." I love, there's a song that our praise team sings, and in that line is, "As far as the east is from the west," meaning it's infinite, the infinite love of God. But then David reminds us in verse 13, our God is a father figure to us. A father figure, a mother figure, a parent figure, one who loves us and who is filled with compassion. You see God's compassion and God's commitment to us. We have a God who feels. I love that. Your God is, again, not some distant God, but you have a God who feels, who has compassion. Jesus constantly, when he would look out at the crowds, would be filled with compassion. And that's the same God that we have here who, again, looks out at the crowds and is filled with compassion, and a God who looks at you and looks at me and is filled with compassion, a God who is moved, a God with empathy, a God with mercy. You hear it all the way back in Exodus. Remember in Exodus 34, verse 6, the scripture says, the Lord passed before him, meaning Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Do you see that? This is not something just with David. It's Genesis to Revelation. This God that you have is filled with love. James Mays, who's a great Old Testament scholar as well, said that a parent's anger at a child's failure occurs, yes, but does not last or prevail. Compassion is a caring that prevails over anger. Hear that again. Compassion is a caring that prevails over anger. Just like a parent looks at a child and may be disappointed, may even be angry at an action, the love and compassion and the caring is so much greater than the anger. That God's love for us is so much greater than our sin. That God's love for us is so much greater than the hatred of our sin and our brokenness. You hear it in Isaiah 49, 15 as well, where God says, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I, God said, will never forget you. I will not forget you. As David thinks about these things and who this God is, he's just filled with awe. And so then he reminds us to fear the Lord. Now, when you hear fear the Lord in the scripture, again, this is not one of those fears and I'm afraid like a terrified child of an abusive parent. That's not the kind of fear. This is a reverence for, an awe for, a respect for, when I consider who you are, God, when I consider who you are and all the things that you do and how you love me, I am in awe for who you are. And I come to worship and to adore you. Our worship is for us to join together in the presence of God just to adore this amazing God. James Mays goes on to say, the fear of the Lord is simply reverence practiced in trust and obedience. The fear of the Lord is simply reverence practiced in trust and obedience. And you have this beautiful climax to the psalm where it's like all the people, all of God's rule, all of God's kingdom from all places are called together, angels, mighty ones, prophets, all people in all places worship in heaven and on earth, summoned to come together to bless and praise the Lord. But again, the name Yahweh, this particular God, we're not universalist Unitarians. This is a particular God, we are called to worship. The New Interpreter Study Bible says that this is a summons to the entire universe to join in praise of God. No psalm more comprehensively calls upon the entire universe to offer blessing to the Lord from the individual to the host who surround the divine throne and back to the individual. Because do you catch at the very end, after all David's gone through, after all this remembering, after remembering his life, remembering God's faithfulness, David comes back to, bless the Lord, O my soul. I am to worship and bless and praise this amazing God. John Goldengay, another biblical scholar, says, but the psalm ends by returning to my heart, my soul, myself. It ends where it started, but is at a different place because of the road we have traveled. I invite you today to practice this psalm in your life. David begins with, bless the Lord. And then he remembers and he celebrates and he thinks about all that God has done, how God has forgiven, blessed, always been with him, and comes right back. We should all worship and praise God, but I personally can never allow myself to forget. Oh, it's Father's Day, a time when we pause and celebrate and remember, but every Sunday is Father's Day for the Christian. Every Sunday is Father's Day for the Christian when we join together to worship and praise God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and a God who so loved you and me that he will never abandon us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.